Good morning from San Francisco at the Tech Target office on Bagel Wednesday. This is Brian Madden. You're listening to a special edition of Brian and Gabe Live. Joining me today via Skype from his home office in Omaha, where I assume that every day is Bagel Day, Gabe Knuth.
If every day were Bagel Day, that would not be good. The only time I eat bagels is when I'm in the San Francisco office, and apparently they bring in bagels all the time.
Is that like a special rule you have? Like when you travel, you're allowed to have cigarettes and bagels, you know, as much as you want.
Yeah, exactly.
So joining me in our studio in San Francisco, we've got two people. First is Barry Phillips, who is the CMO of Wenova. So Barry, thank you so much for taking the time to come in today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And also Jesus Garcia, multiple-time guest of the show, Alliance Marketing Manager for Intel. Thank you for making the drive down.
No, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Actually, Jesus, you drove down from sort of the Sacramento area, and Barry, you were in the sort of greater San Jose area, and I think, Barry, you might have had the longer commute.
Yeah, that's crazy. Shorter distance, a longer commute. Hour and 40 minutes to get up here.
Yeah, good thing we made you come in here instead of letting you use Skype for this thing. So today it's a special edition of Brian and Gabe Live, and we call it a special edition. We've done this a few times before because it is a sponsored show. So this is a sponsored show sponsored by Wenova and Intel. And the idea is we have conversations. We want to have conversations about your products and the market and the industry and what you're seeing, and we want to dedicate the whole show to that. So from your standpoint, say I'm pointing here for those of you who are just listening, from your standpoint, Intel and Wenova, this sure beats some dull, boring white paper. Let's actually have a real conversation about what the hell you guys do and what your views on the industry are.
That's great.
Well, that's what makes it special for us, too, is because we haven't – you know, our amount of prep time for this show was about 15 minutes worth of talking about what we're going to talk about on the show. But we haven't there's no overarching message, that kind of a thing. We're – Brian and I are learning about this at the same time. And so these are our, you know, our real reactions, and this is a real conversation that we're having too. So it's not just it's not a typical sponsored thing. That's why we call it a special edition. So
and
these are fun.
So Wenova, let's kind of start back up a little bit. We have written about Wenova a few times before on BrianMadden.com, and I know you've been at different events, and it's been a few years that Wenova has sort of been around. But Barry Phillips, I wonder if you can just quickly give us what's the elevator pitch of if someone has not heard of Wenova, what is Wenova?
Yeah, so everything that people know about the manageability of images and single image management and layering around VDI, we do that, but we do it for physical PCs. So you know, we give all the benefits that IT needs in terms of, you know, being able to get great desktop TCO, being able to do things like Windows 7 migrations, hardware migrations, be able to repair images without actually touching the machines. But users get to just use any regular PC that's out there without the need for a client hypervisor or anything else. So it's really the best of both worlds, great user experience, but also, you know, all the benefits that IT needs.
And the product, I mean, it's you've been selling product for a couple of years now. I think we wrote initially when Wenova was in the sort of startup phases, but you're in, I think, V3 now or something.
Yeah, we launched our 3.0 in November, and we've actually done a couple dot releases since then just based on lots of customer feedback.
And so, let's kind of dig into this, because I feel like first of all, those who have seen and heard Gabe and I speak in the past, you know that we're all about the desktop virtualization, but we, more importantly, are quick to say that, hey, desktop virtualization is more than VDI. And we have the book about
right,
the copy.
Immediately after we say we love desktop virtualization, we also say that traditional desktops fit in there as well.
Yeah.
They almost go hand in hand.
And it's funny because, you know, us covering the desktop virtualization industry, we sort of talk about all these new ways of delivering desktops. But what Wenova does, it's sort of more desktop management. It's not really desktop virtualization per se. I mean, I don't know how you...
Yeah. There are some customers who will go down a desktop virtualization path, and it doesn't work for them for all the reasons you identified in the book, and they'll come back to us because they have physical machines. But the other thing is we have lots of customers, and especially very, very large ones, 17,000, 20,000, 50,000 seat customers, who don't think of us as virtualization whatsoever. They think of us a better way to do management or Windows 7 migration or something like that.
And so as you said in sort of your introduction, this is – Winova, the Mirage, I think, is the product name, right?
Yeah.
So Mirage is it allows you to have some of the desktop virtualization benefits you get, like with like the layering and that kind of stuff. But there's no hypervisors, or there doesn't have to be a hypervisor. This is not a hypervisor plugin. This is it takes regular copy of Windows and enables it to be, you know, slice and dice. Here's your base layer. Here's your user layer, your applications layer, that kind of thing.
Exactly. And the nice thing is that we'll start from a generic PC and migrate everything up to the data center first, so you get a great copy of that for DR purposes, and then you get into the management side of that.
So can you talk a little bit about sort of from the technology? I know this is we want to talk about sort of how this fits in the future of the industry, but from a pure technology standpoint, I mean, what is Winova actually doing?
Well, you mentioned it before. It's a different form of management. We're not really a desktop virtualization tool. We're a desktop management tool. And we do the same sort of image management in terms of, you know, Windows and core applications that a VDI solution would do, but do that for a physical machine.
And so I've got my laptop, which is sort of the Winova in, you know, controlled laptop or whatever, and then there's some drivers on there, I guess, and it's I mean, what's actually happening on the thing?
So the great thing is you have an existing laptop or desktop, no change to it, you know, and you install our client on it. Our client's going to layer that, basically create 6 logical layers, and then start transferring that up to the data center. We integrate dedupe into the transfer, so we really only send a small piece of the information up. And then once that's up there, you're able to actually replace it by the corporate image, which then goes down. And then steady state, you're always backing up the machine, and then you're always sending down the IT golden image.
So you get the benefits. I mean, so if you've got a Winova managed laptop, you've got sort of the continuous backup. You've got the ability that you know, if the admins need to make changes, they can push changes out to it. Users can still install their own applications, even though the admins might be doing hot fixes and that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So we create 6 different layers on this laptop inside the cloud. The bottom 3 are all IT controlled. And the top 3 are all user space information. So everything about that machine. If you were to restore an image from one machine to another and have them up on desktop monitors, you couldn't tell the difference between the two.
And you can
do that to different hardware too.
Yeah,
right?
Completely different hardware. We've got lots of customers who are taking 2,400 desktop machines and moving over 2,400 laptops, bringing all the user space information and swapping out the OS right in the middle of that.
And so one of the interesting things to me, because I talked to you guys last year because Kevin Goodman and I gave a presentation at Bryform in Chicago about user-installed apps, and I learned that when switching hardware platforms, the Mirage can actually inject the appropriate drivers at boot time. Am I recalling that information correctly, so that it knows or so that it can boot the image on different pieces of hardware?
Yeah, absolutely. We can take an image and float it across even different types of hardware platforms. So we'll automatically give you through what's called a driver layer the right drivers for that particular hardware platform. And even if it's a virtual machine, we can do the same thing.
Well, so basically, I've got to set it like a package. Like I've got, you know, Dell Model 1, Dell Model 2, HP Model 1, Desktop Model 1. And if it's a VM, it could be a Zen VM, a ESX VM. And so those are all sort of separate packages. So I'm taking my base layer, popping the driver pack, and sort of booting that up, I guess, right?
Right, and then you're going to throw all the user space information on top of that, and plus any sort of corporate application layer that you want to use too.
But it's still one base Windows image, right? It's just separate driver packets from the driver library?
Yeah, that's the whole reason why you can do things like single image management, Windows 7 migration, and even repair the images without actually touching the machines is because you mm-hmm. do have that one single base image, which is your core OS and your core apps.
And the idea, I guess, is that if the base image, I mean, you can repair it because the base image, if the user breaks something, the base image can still sort of boot up, I guess, and then connect, you know, sort of phone home back to the Winova server and, you know, refresh a higher level image or something like that.
Yeah, there's a couple ways you do it. If the machine will boot, like I had a virus on my machine and I just did a bunch of presentation updates and was pretty scared it was going to be all gone. Basically just right-clicked on my image in our console and said, restore our base image back one day. And 17 minutes later, my machine rebooted, virus was gone, all of my presentations and applications were there.
So you were not in our office if it happened in 17 minutes.
Yeah, luckily I was at home.
But even if your base image is broken, I mean, like, so Jesus, you know, if you're doing this on, I know Intel has stuff where, is this I'm going to use the words wrong. What is it where in the chipset itself, right? Like if the machine is hosed,
Yeah, so we're talking about AMT here.
Advanced
Active Management Technology. So with vPro, has this capability where you can do a remote boot, a boot to a remote ISO, right? So if, let's say, the PC is down, the OS isn't working for some reason, the IT admin can even remotely power it on, tell it to boot from a remote ISO that's on the network somewhere. In that ISO, you can embed a Mirage client.
Oh, because that could be whatever you want, that ISO, right? So
It could be like a small WinPE image,
right,
for example,
yeah,
right? You can embed the Mirage client in that ISO, so when the machine boots, then the admin assigns the user's last known good state to that Mirage client, and then the user will be back up and running because it'll sync that all that data back to the laptop, and the user will get back exactly as he was before he crashed the system.
Does the user, in that case, the user wouldn't even necessarily have to restore everything from the backup, but if it's only that, like, well, but yeah, right, because if the user had, like, broken something in a major way in the system layer that would prevent it from booting, then you can connect in via the vPro, like the AMT,
right,
tell it to boot up to, like, some kind of image that's got the Mirage agent in it that's going to sort of check and see, and it says, oh, I see that you broke this here, and it doesn't touch the other layers.
Actually, yeah. The cool thing is that IT doesn't even have to do diagnosis. It just says, here, apply this layer to it, right, the pristine golden layer, and you're back up and running. So you don't have to determine which file it is.
Think of how much time this saves. Like, rather, because, you know, we're all the same way with just, you know, stuff starts to act crazy, you just reboot first. Like, why try to figure out what the hell's going on? Just pull the plug and start again, see what happens. And, you know, then you can troubleshoot.
Yeah,
and
in
this
especially
case, just screw it.
Because, I mean, IT pros do that anyway. It's just that usually when they do that, they screw the user, and the user loses everything. So this is – because most of the time, the users or the IT pros are like, I don't know what's happening. Let's just reimage it.
Yeah.
Right. And now you can do that essentially without losing – all those settings.
Smart reimaging.
I want to go to some of the questions. There's a lot of stuff in the chat room. And let's see. I was first looking at.
It looks like Tom is a Wonova employee.
Yeah, Tom Nickel.
Okay.
So first of all, addressing, we talked about the benefits of VDI. What about active failover via vMotion like functionality? So this is from VDI Superman. Hello. And maybe I guess I should say
so it's going to be like that, huh?
Well, this is something that Gabe and I look at a lot, is that, you know, we don't want to say all the benefits of VDI. We say many of the benefits of VDI. So
I'm actually giving a session at Bryform in London about that, about how you can get to some VDI features without actually doing VDI. And so, and obviously, Wonova is going to be a big part of that discussion because of these kinds of things. And so, yeah, I guess, you know, obviously we can't. Nobody's going to be able to vMotion something with this because that's sort of a hypervisor / shared storage, you know, related feature that obviously isn't there with this. But like we just talked about with the backups and stuff, that can actually happen fairly quickly, right? Not instant by all means, but or by any means, but still, you can switch users from one machine to another. Like, what did we just say? 17 minutes.
Yeah, and that's and the great thing about that is because really what happened is my stored image, my golden image, which is in the cloud, and was compared against what I have on my machine, and only the differences are sent down. But from a DR perspective, I can always take my image if that machine died, you know, I can put the Mirage client on a brand new one. I'm going to look at the two differences and only send down the delta between the two, which is normally the personal space stuff. We know which applications and files a user uses most often. Those come down first. So even across the country, you're up and running in about 30 minutes on your own machine.
And so even that's kind of like streaming, where it's streaming down the most important bits that it needs to get up and running right away. Like we think about with app streaming, where the application bits that are needed to execute right away are streamed down first so that the app can load, and then the less important things are streamed down in the background. And this is just doing that with the entire user experience.
Yeah, and that's a great analogy. And then if for some reason there was a file that you needed you hadn't used in a while, you just double-click on it, goes to the top of the screen, or top of the priority.
But back to the thing about the VDI, you know, and this is a lot of what we talked about in our book, where, you know, there's a lot of advantages of VDI, and one of them is super high uptime, you know, no, like if a client, you've got the vMotion, the failover, all that kind of stuff. But then, of course, there's downsides of VDI, which is your stuff is executing centrally, so it's hard for very intense graphical applications and with slower network connections. And, you know, this is just part of what goes into the equation of figuring out where you run your copies of Windows, whether you do it on laptops or centrally. And I guess my point is that so a lot of people – I feel like a lot of people are doing VDI because – they want to make their environment easier to manage. Mm-hmm. And I've written in the past, by the way, I do not believe for an instant that VDI is about saving management. Saving management is – the way you save management is by doing centralized sharing images or doing app virtualization or user virtualization. And VDI is sort of a delivery mechanism of that. And certainly Wenovo can be a delivery mechanism and a way to help you do some of these, you know, separation of these layers. But where I'm going with this is that I look at this as, you know, if there's a lot of benefits of VDI that you don't need VDI for, like the management. And that's where what I'm talking about, like this this sort of thing, having the benefits of VDI without VDI, I guess I shouldn't say it's all the benefits, but it's definitely – like if you want the centralized management, you don't need VDI to get centralized management, because I imagine this is way, way cheaper because you're not buying any servers. I guess you need like a small server just to host your images and stuff like that, but that's probably – you can support, I'm sure, thousands of users off of one server.
Yeah, we normally get 1,500 to 2,000 users off the same server that you'll get 30 to 50 with a VDI.
And what are you talking about, by the way, costing for Wenovo? I mean, how's it – that's another question from the chat room. Pricing and licensing, how does that work?
It's similar from a licensing fee that you would have from a VDI perspective in terms of, you know, we actually license it per user. And then we have an entire solution, which includes image management, migration, DR, repair. But we'll also split it up into two different packages, one from an image management side and then one from a DR and repair side.
And what are we looking at? I mean, we were talking about – I know licensing is always individual. Like every company depends on how good their negotiator is and how good the vendor sales rep is. But, I mean, you know, the range of licensing we're looking at is, what, a couple hundred bucks?
Yeah, a couple user? Hundred bucks, something like that. Yeah. And but the great thing is that, you know, when you compare it from a VDI, from a data center side, you know, you start having quite a few less servers up there. The storage doesn't have to be very fast storage, so you can use regular slow storage. And then and then the ongoing costs of power and cooling are quite a bit less too. Not to mention any sort of, you know, one of your favorite subjects, Microsoft licensing. Remember that operates on the laptop or desktop itself.
Yeah.
So no issues in terms of SA or VDA.
Do you need SA?
I guess. Nope. Not at all.
Right. Now I guess
there's a bonus.
Now, if a user connects from a different machine, they'd need to have two Windows licenses, like
right.
one for each machine.
Right.
But you license per user, you said, not per device that you might want to someday use and through everything like that. So let's see, the USB. So someone's asking about
crazy USB devices.
Yeah, crazy USB devices. But I guess that all works because you're not.
Yeah, it's a regular laptop or desktop. You could take our client off at any time, and it's just, you could take our client off, put it back on, take it off, put it back on. It's just a regular machine. You could take the machine with the client on it away from our server at any time. It's just a regular machine.
So when you say take the client off, put it on, because your client, it's like an app.
It's a little 2 meg MSI file that you put on there, and then it'll actually start synchronizing after that.
Oh, and like if I was, for whatever reason, to delete that, like uninstall that client, the machine's still there. It just...
Yep.
Doesn't have anything looking at the layers and backing up and, you know, that kind of stuff. Or if I had PX, if I had AM to vPro stuff.
Yeah, AMT.
Yeah, the user takes it off, then I can just connect in via the hardware level, and I assume you can't block that.
Actually, you know what's really cool about AMT? It has this feature called Agent Presence, so that an agent actually can check into AMT periodically, and if for some reason the user uninstalls the agent or disables it, AMT can send an alert back to the management console that says, hey, this user deactivated your agent, get it back on there.
Right.
And so, you know, it could be another point of integration.
So that's a good point, Brian, because most people, when they first hear about Wenovo, they think we're some sort of VDI solution. And it takes a while for them to understand that it's just a regular physical machine. It's no change to user experience, no change to the hardware, no hardware requirements. It's whatever you have right now.
And it doesn't – yeah, so it doesn't – I mean, there's no hypervisor. It's more like an Uber – agent for like the Ultimate Desktop Management agent. Think of it like installing the Altiris agent or the SMS, you know, SCCM agents. I mean, something like that.
But it's different because all your images, well, your single image that you manage is in the data center, right? So you manage one copy of Windows, one copy of SAP, one copy of Outlook in the data center for all the users that are there. So that's where the management happens. The client is really just taking information and installing it and actually backing up everything.
So, incidentally, I don't know if anyone in the chat room or Gabe knows. Can I pause the scrolling on this thing? I try to go back and read questions, and then as soon as someone enters something new in the chat room.
I think if you scroll up, it stops scrolling. You know, if you scroll just a little bit, at least I'm pretty sure I've been bitten by that before. But, yeah, there's so much conversation going on. This is the most active I think I've ever seen the chat room, which is good.
So do people because it does, so it doesn't require a hypervisor, but of course it can work in a VM. So I don't know if people are using this in combination with VDI also, because I'd imagine that you could sort of, you know,
asked a question. You'd be hypervisor agnostic, right, across the board.
Yeah, so we can operate on a hypervisor in the data center, or we can operate on a hypervisor on the client. And it can be a type 1 or a type 2. We don't care. We actually have only one customer who's using, and that's the U.S. Senate, and they're using Max and they're using Fusion.
With a clue in here asks – sorry, Brian, you want to
– No, go ahead, Gabe.
Okay, so – excuse me. Guy with a clue in the chat room says, I have an iPad. And right, so here's a big thing that VDI doesn't have, or that Mirage doesn't have, that VDI does, is that it gives you the remote access to the desktops on devices that can't run Windows. But in theory, you could probably take your Mirage provided desktop or Mirage managed desktop that you use on your PC at the office and deploy that into a VM that you can access via VDI then if you wanted to as well, right? I mean, I don't know if there's a sexy kind of a nice way of actually doing that, but you can take that image with you if you need to.
Yeah, and there's two ways of supporting an iPad. I mean, one is exactly what you said. I grab my image and then assign it to a VM, and then it signs over quite quickly. Then I can access it off of an iPad, do whatever else I want to do with it. Whatever changes I make then go flowing right back to my actual physical machine.
Is there an automated way to do that, or is that a manual process?
At this point, it's just basically IT assigning the image from one to the other. It's a pretty quick process to be able to do that from an IT perspective. But the nice thing about that is you're not really chained to VDI to get iPad access, because that's kind of the way, you know, when you think of a lot of VDI, it's sold right now. It's because, you know, you've got executives who want iPad access. But the other way to do it is so that gives you your apps and your files. If you just want your files, if you're on a Mac or an iPad, you can use what's called a file portal. You log in through AD, and you can get access to all your files of your centralized image.
And that just exposes your – so this is not the files in a share. This is like actually because you're backing up the image.
Right.
You're sort of reaching into that image, their copy of the image in the data center, and getting the files that way.
Yeah, so normally every hour, and you can set it to every half hour, 2 hours, the Mirage client is going to sync up all your changes. It's going to sync up, you know – anything that you do, I change my whether or not my taskbar hides, or I have big icons or small icons, or what's in my quick start menu. All that's and then of course your files and your apps and your drivers are all backed up, and so then that's the piece that you can go in and access.
Okay, so I want to take this moment to remind you that you're listening to Brian and Gabe Live Special Edition, which is sponsored by Winova and Intel. And the ad copy I was given to read, which almost seems maybe it's irrelevant right now. If you're looking for the advantages of desktop virtualization without the cost, complexity, and user complaints commonly associated with VDI, Winova and Intel have the solution. Intelligent desktop virtualization, Winova Mirage provides centralized single image management, disaster recovery of the entire PC, in-place Windows 7 migration, hardware migration, and more. More information is available at winova.com.
Wow, that's pretty good.
And I say it's almost irrelevant because this is what we're talking about right now. So, although it brings up some more things, you mentioned Win7 and some other stuff that we want to hit on. But one of the things, if I scroll back to some of the earlier comments in the chat room, people are asking about BYOD. I guess the BYOC in this case. You know, so I don't know. I mean, is this a scenario where you see if users want to bring in their own laptops, does Winova fit into that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the one thing you see with the BYO model is you can't really go out there and say, listen, you get to choose from these four models, right? You're going to be able to have to support everything. And I think you hit it right in the book. It's even if you have a corporate-owned laptop right now and you give a user admin rights, they essentially kind of have a BYO there already. So the one thing Winova does a really good job of is on these top three user space layers are completely separated really from the bottom three corporate IT control layers. And by the way, all six layers have 21 separate snapshots. Think of time machine-like functionality for each one of those layers. But that allows the users to do everything they want to do from the personal side of things, but allow IT to have the control it needs from the corporate side of things. So then, you know, if you make the assumption that a user can bring any machine on that they want to, that kind of eliminates the whole type 1 hypervisor piece, because you're going to have certain machines that are supported and certain ones that aren't. So, we can obviously manage the image on a type 1 or a type 2, and I think really the type 1 hypervisor that Microsoft delivers with Win8 is really going to be the piece where you see BYO taken off, because you've got two different Type 1 machines with no hardware compatibility issues.
I guess you mentioned the hardware compatibility with Type 1 hypervisors, and obviously Winova and Intel are here together. But does Mirage need vPro to work?
No, there's things that Mirage can do better with vPro. Like we talked about the ability to go in and use WinPE and be able to boot that machine remotely. And there's, being able, as Jesus said, to identify if there's something missing and be able to add that piece on. So doesn't necessarily need it. You know, it certainly works better on it.
Well, and that's just, part of the BYO thing is if somebody does go and acquire their own machine or bring in their one that they've had at home for a while that doesn't have vPro on it or something like that, or if it's not even an Intel processor, then, it still works with those pieces or with those pieces of hardware as well. So that's good.
Well, and so the whole BYO thing, too, I guess we – so first of all, if the Winova client is only a couple megs, I mean, a user could have – their own machine with their own copy of Windows, and all they have to do is, I mean, that can be any machine. It can be, if we put the Winova client on there, then that can sort of immediately start syncing and backing up the user's environment from bringing the user stuff down. I mean, there's nothing really, like the IT doesn't have to own the whole image. I guess they sort of, help me out here. So, because I'm just sort of like exploring this in my mind. Like, let's say that I buy whatever machine at Best Buy,
okay,
and bring it into the company, and the company is using Winova to sort of deliver and manage and slice up their desktop. Is the company going to want to put a new image on that machine, or can I just take whatever copy of Windows that has and install the Winova client and let it start doing its thing?
Well, I guess the first thing is, that user probably has a machine that they're going from to the BYO machine.
Yeah.
So the good question is, how do you actually first migrate all that user's information over? And that's something, of course, we do from a P2V perspective, right? Get all that information up there. So you can certainly just back up all the user information. Remember, everything is done in layers, and not actually manage that machine itself if you wanted to. So you've got So you've got the functionality. When you get into the layers and the fact that they're stored separately and snapshotted separately, there's lots of layer algebra that you can do to actually do a lot of different things.
That's actually kind of cool. Like, I could imagine where sort of a BYO solution really would be. Like, well, you got this machine that runs Windows. We don't really want to deal with it, but we'll just if you install the Winova client on it, we'll go ahead and manage the user layer so you can get your data back. And that's kind of an interesting use case.
Yeah, but as somebody who had that virus, the ability for IT to go back in and fix my machine is absolute. I tell you, I would... the great thing about the product is the fact that as a user, you don't know it's on there. And the only reason you know it's on there is if something happens.
How did you get a virus, by the way? What the hell? What year is this?
So, yeah. You know, it's funny. It was the same virus that I've seen probably 2 years ago. And we had Kaspersky running on the machine and everything, and just a minor speed bump for the virus. So I have no idea.
The other, and so, Jesus, I'm surprised you didn't speak up here, because I feel like every time I talk about BYO with this guy in the room, he's like... Hey, man, if you have a new sexy Ultrabook, you don't need BYO.
Well, actually, that's true. I mean, what user actually wants to buy their own laptop so they can use it at work?
Right? Yeah.
So users would rather have one laptop that they take around with them everywhere, right, that IT buys for them. And if IT were to give you, let's say, a nice light, an Ultrabook that's ultra thin, it's light, it works well, has long battery life, rather than a big old plastic, 2-inch laptop,
yeah.
I think you just would appreciate that, right?
That's actually a good point, because – and we have this the same with the phones today. So, like, I have an iPhone. It's my only phone, and I use a Google Voice plus the built-in number to, like, kind of have my work and personal life separation. If my phone is bought by TechTarget, the bill – I don't even see the bill. I assume someone pays it. It's like a corporate phone, but because I don't want to buy my own cell phone. I don't want to deal with Verizon and all that crap, but it's nice because IT gives me – the device that I want. It's still their device, but it's the device I want. So, like, I'm sitting here in front of a MacBook Air. But really, like, the OS in this thing, I was talking to some people a while ago. I really, really don't care. Because, honestly, I use Chrome as a browser, which is cross-platform. I use Office, which is cross-platform. And I use iTunes, frankly, because all my stuff is in the iCloud and all that, which there's iTunes for Windows. And so whether or not this actual thing is a Mac or Windows, I think, frankly, I couldn't care less. The reason I have a MacBook Air that I bought with my own money, incidentally, is because the machine that they gave me, I don't know what the hell it was. It was plastic.
It was two inches thick
plastic. It was exactly what you said. And then, like, yet even though it's 2 inches thick plastic, it was still more flexible somehow than my half-inch-thick MacBook Air.
You know what? It's going to get even Aztec of laptops.
It's going to get even more interesting. So, up until today. you know, there have been very distinct form factors. So you've had, you know, your small smartphone and you had a laptop.
Yeah.
And then the tablet came. And so you had a smartphone, tablet, and laptop. But now, you know, with new devices coming in later this year and you know, a little bit more in the future, you're going to see even more devices that are completely blurring the lines. You're not going to know whether you have a tablet or a laptop, because you're going to get an Ultrabook that you can take the lid off and it'll become a tablet.
Yeah.
You can swivel the lid. You can, you know, so if you need a keyboard, it can be a clamshell form factor. If you don't want the keyboard, you can detach the lid, because the processor will be within the lid, and you have a tablet.
That's a good point. I mean, because frankly, this MacBook is not that much bigger than the iPad. And I see these people that walk around with iPads plus,
plus a keyboard.
Keyboard and like all that shit. And I'm like, the MacBook, you can buy these Mac Airs for $999. Yeah. I mean, but I guess, it's funny you mentioned, but I didn't think of that. But I think that I can say pretty Maybe we can work out some kind of deal here. But I really do feel like if I walked in the day one and the company gave me some like super thin, super small, made out of metal, like sexy little laptop, if it ran Windows, I wouldn't care. And
if they gave you a hybrid Ultrabook, right, that can be a tablet or a clamshell and was touch enabled, what more do you need?
Yeah, that's true. And then at that point, you don't care.
Multi-touch enabled. Multi-touch.
Multi-touch, yeah. I'm sorry.
But at that point, you don't care. But from an IT standpoint, it can run Windows natively. There's no hypervisor to break your USB, compatibility. It's got native GPU access, all that kind of stuff. You pop one over in there to manage it, so you don't have the performance hit of the hypervisor. It's regular laptop. You still get the backup and all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I like that. Ultrabooks, these are... Like, you can buy these now, right? I'm sorry to sound so ignorant.
You can buy these now, and more will be coming in later in 2012. In fact, you're going to be able to get Ultrabooks with vPro second half of this year also. So not only are users going to love it because it's a cool form factor, easy to use, and going to be touch-enabled, but also IT is going to love them because they're super manageable.
Does vPro – so you mentioned the vPro, like you can do like wake up – like
remote power on.
Can you do that over Wi-Fi? Or like how does
you
that
can
work?
Do that over Wi-Fi as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Does it have to be on the same Wi-Fi network, or can I somehow –
So if you're
can I wake that thing up at home?
So if you're at home, IT's not going to be able to turn it on for you. But it does have a capability that the user can connect out of band back to the corporate network from home. So if, for example, they do encounter a problem, they can go into the BIOS screen and using AMT, connect wirelessly.
Oh, so there's a GUI. So they can – is
well,
it like a red –
It's like BIOS thing.
Yeah. But it's like is it user friendly enough that's like if your machine is effed up, press F7 while booting and that aborts out to the BIOS?
The use case would be the user calls IT and say, look, I can't boot my laptop. What do I do? Then the IT guy would say, well, hit, F8 as you reboot. And then you'll say, press this to start the remote connection.
Say, this is a little off topic, but on this like remote, so you can wake up computers via Wi-Fi if it's in the office. Is there temperature sensors that will also safely shut down? Like I used to work for Compaq 10 years ago, and I closed it, and Windows hung somehow, and it didn't actually suspend. And I used a neoprene case in that days, which they also use for wetsuits for insulation purposes. And I literally fried the laptop because it was on inside the neoprene sleeve, and it overheated and never turned on again. So I don't know if nowadays
I don't know if the new platforms are going to have that sort of temperature sensor. It'd be interesting, but
I imagine
nothing
they have
to do with vPro.
Well, but my point is that hopefully I don't want it that it's in my neoprene case under my desk, and you remotely connect to it. And
good point. No, so there are a few requirements. One, it has to be connected to power.
Oh, okay.
And two, it has to have access to either the Wi-Fi network or to the LAN.
The power makes sense because I don't want it to be in my bag and I got 4 minutes of battery life left on banking on this. And meanwhile, you booted it up to install the new antivirus software.
Yeah, they thought of that.
Okay, that's cool. But now, I'm starting to see, and this kind of goes, this what I like about this, like we spend a lot of time talking about desktop strategy. And, I like a broken record now. You know my story on don't make a desktop virtualization strategy, make a desktop strategy,
right.
And then figure out your delivery mechanism or your form factor separate from the actual desktop management. So, here you can see, because I want to go back to this issue of thinking about Winova combined with VDI, and I don't know if anyone's doing that now, where, so you can look at VDI as your actual delivery form factor of Windows. So you've got some desktops, you've got some ultrabooks, you've got some 2-inch plastic laptops, you've got all these different models. And VDI could be another one of that. But I don't know if companies are actually saying, okay, Winova is the way that we manage all of our Windows images, and then whether they're delivered via VDI or via traditional, you know, local installs or Type 1 hypervisors. I mean, are you seeing people combine this with VDI?
Yeah, I don't think they really they haven't really grasped the fact that you can get all those, you know, all the benefits of centralization, because it's really what it is. You know, in the book you talked about, you know, VDI as a form of desktop virtualization. I really think it's all a form of centralization. It's where your images are and where they're managed, and then that gives you all those benefits like we've talked about.
But centralization of the management, not centralization of the execution of Windows.
Centralization of the images, where you manage the images, and of course then the execution happens certain places. And you know, and I'm the same way as you are. There's a desktop strategy. You're going to have some users where it makes sense to have them connect over a pretty high-speed connection via thin client, and that's VDI. You may have some where you have some pretty high security requirements that, you know, disk encryption software wouldn't do, and that's probably a client hypervisor. Then you've got a bunch that are out there who just want a regular PC. That's where somebody like Winova would come in.
Let's talk about some of these things a little bit more in depth, like the client hypervisors. So, you know, you touched on earlier that Windows 8, we now know is the final name, will have a client hypervisor. I don't want to call it built-in, but like there's an option for Hyper-V for
and the
clients.
Pro editions, right?
Okay, that's a pro. Yeah, and I said, pro edition. Imagine the enterprise. There's an enterprise edition also. Did you
well,
see
that's
that?
Just that's just Pro plus SA.
Oh, so there's it's the same bits. It's just like
yeah, it's just there's oh, wow. Windows 8, Windows Pro, and then WinRT for ARM.
Okay.
So SA will give you the Windows 8 Enterprise.
Okay. So Windows 8 Pro, and then by extension Enterprise, of course, yeah. has the option for the hypervisor. But that's I guess so to. From the Winova standpoint, from the Winova standpoint, whether they have a hypervisor, I mean, you kind of don't care.
We don't really care, yeah. And you could also take their existing XP or 7 image and then migrate it over to the hypervisor if you wanted to.
Wait, let's talk about that because Winova now supports XP, Vista, I imagine, I don't know, 7, 8, you know. But you mentioned a couple times the migration. So is that, I mean... A lot of first of all, I'm surprised at how many people are still in the throes or have not all gone to Windows 7. Like when I go out and do
50% of enterprises still on XP.
Yeah, and this is like in today's world.
Yeah.
I would say it's 100% of enterprises are still 50% on XP. Yeah, it's a crazy number.
It is crazy,
and very very big ones too.
Yeah, and they've got a couple of years left. I mean, it's okay, but I mean, I'm guessing that. Migration. Does Winova have – is there intelligence about, you know, here's XP and here's 7, like here's how stuff translates? Or is it mainly looking at, you know, you can install the Winova client on your old sort of like pre-desktop? I imagine you wouldn't even have to necessarily fully manage. So maybe if you're on XP, you're not using Winova at all, you just pop that, you know, 2 meg whatever client on there, start kind of collecting all the data and collecting everything and creating those layers. And then you can give the users a new machine with Windows 7 – or I guess even just reimage their old machine with Windows 7 with just the base and then let Winova pull everything back down. But does Winova do like sort of any translation from XP to 7 or just pulling the data off and putting it back down?
Yeah, so we actually centralize those old XP images and if from the actual machine itself that let's say it's an in-place migration of the existing hardware, even though we don't move the user data off of it or the user profiles off, we actually switch the OS underneath the actual machine itself. So we do centralize that from a backup purpose. So if your migration has gone wrong, we can actually revert you back to XP within about 30 minutes and keep going.
Wait, I never thought
– That happens transparent to the user too, right? The user doesn't know that the OS is being switched under there until they get a dialog box. Well, it's a dialog box that says, okay, reboot. Now you're going to get Windows.
I don't know if that's a good thing, man.
Yeah, there's a
– Surprise.
Well, you know, my last company, I gave my machine to IT 9 a.m. on a Thursday. I got it back at 9 a.m. on a Friday with us. As a user, it doesn't matter if you're a remote user or if you're in a branch office or if you're in the regular campus office. It'll pop up and say, listen, we're gonna give you a new OS. That's it. And then the OS goes down behind the scenes, and the user keeps working on XP. It's about a 30-minute process of 2 reboots, and they're off and running with Windows 7.
So but what I just realized, what you said, is the user data and all those personal layers, that never goes anywhere. It's more like your lower-level layers of the OS and the driver layers, I imagine, it's sort of sideloaded. So the new one is downloaded in the background. Then when they reboot, it boots up off that new one. But the user layer, that never changed. So you don't even have – it's not even like backing up the whole laptop and restoring. Now, if you've got the Winova client, it's been backed up all along anyway. So if like total chaos ensues and the thing is, you know, is bricked.
So also remember that what he sends back down are the deltas. Right, so it doesn't make sense to send back the user data if it's already there.
Right.
So you send to the deltas between the Windows XP image and the Windows 7 OS.
And that's where we get major advantages with branch offices, especially because you don't have to put any sort of branch infrastructure there to do Pixie booting and to do backup. So you don't got to put people on site whatsoever. Everything happens centrally, and then we've got some great advantages in terms of things like Branch Reflector, which allows one single image to go down for 100 or 150 users in a branch.
I want to talk about that, but first I'm going to take a pause to remind you that you're listening to Brian and Gabe Live Special Edition, sponsored by Winova and Intel. Joining Gabe and I today, we've got Barry Phillips, the CMO of Winova, and Jesus Garcia, the one of, I'm sure, thousands of alliance marketing managers for Intel.
But our favorite one.
Well, I'm the only one that covers desktop virtualization and business clients. So
yeah, and you're also kind of close, like geographically speaking. So that makes it easy. And so this, as I said, this show today is sponsored by you guys, and thank you for doing that and allowing us to have this conversation. But Barry Phillips, I want to get back to what you were just saying about this branch reflector. And you mentioned, you know, Winova being used as a branch solution. And sort of as you're saying that, I'm reminded of like Citrix Provisioning Server a lot of people use Citrix Provisioning Server for branch offices where you have one server in the office that hosts a master image or master images for all your machines. And I know that they had a lot of success in the early days, even at Ardent's before Citrix bought them. Of like retail stores and stuff like that. So like all the cash registers booted off this one machine, and if a cash register crashed, then they could just reboot it and it's back up and running and everything. But Citrix seems to be going in a different direction with Citrix Provisioning Server than what the world might want them to. And so I was almost a little bit sad that, like, damn, if Provisioning Server goes away or becomes part of Zen Desktop and becomes part of the whole like synchronizer requiring Zen client craziness, then we're
right.
sort of
no more desktops.
more Zen desktops. Yeah, but we're sort of screwed as a community. But it sounds like though, this is a good use case for that. I mean, Winova in the branch office, you don't even need that server down there anymore, really.
Yeah, and whether it's a branch office or a retail place or possibly a university lab, so you can do in place Windows 7 migrations. But from a pure image management perspective, to take these all down to their golden image in about 10 minutes, it doesn't matter where you are, is something that, we're getting lots of traction from retail shops in general.
What is this whole thing like? So in the comments, they talked about Pixie booting plus application virtualization streaming. And I forget which commenter posted that, but it's been posted a few times. So I hear you. But I'm really like just kind of thinking out loud here. So like Pixie boot with OS streaming is kind of what I described with Citrix Provisioning Server.
Right.
But you know, so Citrix Provisioning Server, there's Wise Streaming Manager, which I think still exists as a product. We'll see what Dell does with them. The DoubleTake. Remember, there's that company called MBoot that DoubleTake bought and became DoubleTake Flex, but DoubleTake like fired all them and shut down that group, so that's gone as a product. And you cannot buy Citrix Provisioning Server as a standalone product anymore either. So Pixie plus, you know, streaming images, I don't know if that's actually like a thing you can do anymore, but I almost, you know, but if you go like the Winova route, because everything's happening locally, it's almost like, Winova is happening. What I want to say, like out of band a little bit, like Winova's putting the files down, like all the booting and using the hard drive and all that kind of stuff is local. It's just that if you need to update an image or something, you can push those files down in the background and then reboot it. Or I assume, can I do something like, I can probably lock certain layers, I guess, like if it's a lab and I want to just reboot the machine every 45 minutes and then go back to steady state. I'm sure there's easy ways to do that also.
Yeah, you can put a script right in front of it. And every morning, 8 o'clock in a lab, you basically take the images down. And the great thing about it, it's going to compare what's on that machine now, whatever the student put on it. and then what's in the central pristine copy, and only send down the delta, and then it goes back to that pristine
copy. Oh, that's cool. And there's probably not a lot to send down. It's more like deleting stuff that's already there.
Exactly.
And if the student messed with any files that are important, then it's just going to pop those back down, and there you go.
Yeah, so in the lab or retail, you don't really find any backup. It's normally just making sure that that machine itself is always has the pristine image.
That's interesting, because that's the exact scenario that provisioning server was. I mean, especially when it was Ardent's before Citrix bought them, it was labs and retail, like branch office retail locations.
Yeah, and the difference
Citrix
may be in a lab.
Wrenched them away from us. Sorry.
Say again.
Before they wrenched that technology away from us.
The difference may be in a lab environment is that if that network goes down, that machine still operates, right? It's just a regular PC.
Yeah, yeah. And so again, I mean, I like the idea of managing. This is sort of one of his core central themes of the book. I really like this idea of managing that Windows instance. And you really don't care. Like, you really don't care whether it's virtual or physical or remote or wherever. If you're managing that Windows instance, let Windows run wherever Windows has to run. The wheels are turning in here, because I want to look at this. And I know we touched on this before, but so users combining this with VDI, that's not something that you're seeing yet?
One of our shortest sales cycles are customers who've gone down the VDI route, and they've been partially successful with some users and some use cases, or they haven't been successful. And they'll come back to us for those use cases that they haven't been. So they're kind of operating independently. But the great thing is VDI really drives this mindset of centralization, right? It's all the images are in one place. I get all the TCO benefits of desktop management because of that. And so then we'll use that to parlay into the physical machines that are out there. So I would say they're together in some cases, but operating independently.
But I'd still love going.
I would say in my mind, I'm just trying to formulate how this could work even better, right? And I'm thinking that if Mirage somehow tied into the broker, into the desktop broker for these VDI solutions, and so, you know, normally the user uses a desktop or a laptop or whatever, and it's running natively on the device, but if they try to connect to a desktop, through a VDI client, that the broker will talk to Mirage and immediately and do that switch that you said before that an admin would have to make. If it could do that switch automatically and then provision that Mirage image to a VDI server on the fly, I think that would just be amazing.
Well, we're actually doing something, I guess, a little bit different than that. So we're introducing something called 2-to-1 sync in the next release, and it'll come in stages. But that'll allow you just to have your machine that you have normally actually, of course, store up to the Mirage central image, but also synchronize with another machine. So you could actually have your VDI session synchronized with your physical machine if you wanted to.
Oh, that's sick.
And that answers the question right above where you're editing right now in our document, Brian, that says, let's say I have a desktop and a laptop, and I use my desktop at the office, and I want to grab my laptop and hop on a plane. Will all my stuff be synced to it? And 2-to-1 sync sounds like, yeah, it'll be sitting there waiting for you.
Yeah.
That is sick, dude. Okay, look, so...
this is why I love these special edition ones and why we don't talk about them ahead of time, because... We get these really cool
revelations. I want this now. Because look,
does it work on Mac?
Okay, so here's my life right now. I have a desktop at home. I have a desktop at work, and I have a laptop. So three like PC devices. Now mine are all Macs, but that, as we discussed earlier, like they're Macs just because like it doesn't really make a bit of difference. But all my email is in the Exchange server. We still use Exchange. Don't get me started. All my email is in Exchange server. All my music is in iTunes Cloud. All my files are in Dropbox. So my data is synced and on demand, and that goes around wherever I need it. But it's the applications that aren't there. So if I make a change, and some of the apps are getting good, like Chrome now has like preferences synced, so my Chrome history and bookmarks are synced everywhere. But I don't know how many times I have to right click and save as, my settings in Word. If I install an application, if I find a new app that I like, I have to install it to all three places. So if I could
use 3-to-1 sync, even their awesome 2-to-1 sync isn't good enough for you.
Can I hierarchy 2-to-1? I mean, why not? But the thing is, I mean, that's
can we nest them together?
But and I love the idea that you can sync them. You don't have to have an image running to sync to it, do you? Like here's where I'm going with this. Could I, could I have all my images synced, like the 2-to-1, I've got my laptop and just a stack of disk images on a VM server, like on a VDI host, or do those have to be – can I sync those out of band, I guess is my question? I can, right? Because the back end – yeah, that makes sense. Because sorry, he's looking at me like, what the hell are you talking about? Here's where I'm going with this. 2-to-1 sync is like two running computers.
Yeah. And then also your central image that we manage.
Okay, right. Okay, so it's like the central image plus two running computers.
Yes.
Because, okay, so maybe what I want to do, we don't even need 2-to-1 sync for, because I really love the idea that I have my laptop, I do everything on my laptop all day long, but if I'm just randomly like out somewhere and I need to check, I need to check something, it'd be cool if I could just go into a VDI broker and boot into the most recent replica of my laptop that is central.
Right.
But I don't want – if I have 1,000 users in my company, I don't want 1,000 VMs running 24/7 like just in case that one user checks. I want a way that I can hit the VDI broker and then it can say, oh, well, here's Brian's central image. Just boot that up for him real quick and then he can make the changes there. And then by the way, even if the laptop is off, the next time I turn the laptop on, it's going to sync down those deltas that I made the changes while the laptop was offline.
Right.
Can I do that today?
Today, it'll still require the IT admin to actually manually be able to pop up that VDI. Yeah. So there's going to be some work that has to happen in that case. And right now, our focus is really making sure the sync happens correctly.
Okay.
But yeah, that's probably a future sort of thing we can
do. Yeah, and I guess I'm getting – right, I'm probably getting more into edge case things. But this is a perfect example because so many people talk about how there are benefits of VDI. I mean there are benefits of being able to access to walk up to any computer or terminal or kiosk on the planet and in 100 keystrokes or less have your full enterprise desktop.
Right.
But so that's a cool benefit. But as I said, if you have to have VDI desktops running 24/7 or even if they're not running 24/7, but if you have to have them sort of staged and ready to go – that's tough. And so people don't usually do that. People just make it so you've got either a terminal server or a generic shared VDI image that can be provisioned on demand. So they can't quite give me everything, but I can connect remotely and have my desktop with Office and my roaming profile and my data put back in there. But it's not really my desktop. So if you could do that where I could have them stacked, ready to go, kind of offline, but fully synced, even if it's a sync every 30 minutes, yeah, that'd be badass. You should do that.
Yeah, we're doing it. We're doing it. It's, of course, always a development effort to get all these things out there.
But this is the key, though, is see, because I want to go back to I can't stress this enough, is that for me, I want to use Wanova as my Windows instance creation / management / backup. And I want to have the exact same Wanova client running in my VDI VMs, running on my client VMs, running on my bare metal, whether ultra thin, plastic, desktop, whatever. So I don't want to get into like Wanova managed physical versus VDI. I want Wanova managed Windows. For those of you on the radio, I'm holding my hands up here saying I want Wanova managed Windows up top. And then below that, I've got VDI, client hypervisor, fat laptop, skinny laptop, desktop, and it doesn't matter how the user accesses Windows, it's got Wanova on there.
That's the benefit of managing the layers centrally.
Yeah.
I think the layers is the big differentiator here, because if you didn't have layers, then central management would just be traditional desktop.
Right. And if you didn't have layers, then that image would be like hardware specific.
Exactly.
And that's actually the problem. Exactly. I think that VMware has a lot of cases is that because VMware says, well, you know, we can take this, we can make your image a VM and then run it anywhere. A VM can run anywhere, which is true, but it can run anywhere, like footnote, that your hypervisor is running. So, you can run it on – but if you're running on a Mac, it's only via Fusion. Wait, it's Fusion? Yeah, Fusion. Or if you're running it on Windows, it's via Workstation. Or – you know, off whatever. But
So with this, with Wanova, you get all the benefits of desktop virtualization without a hypervisor anywhere.
Yeah, right. But I just can't. I can't reiterate enough that to me, focusing just on traditional desktop management is only half of it. If you can take that and combine that, with your VDI, and like this is a one way you manage Windows instances everywhere. Because a lot of these vendors, and that by the way, this is the success that people are having with app virtualization. Like look at the people who are doing ThinApp and AppV who are doing it right. They're not using AppV just for VDI. They are using AppV. Like if they decide that we're delivering Sales Logix with AppV, goddammit, Sales Logix is on AppV, whether it's traditional or hypervisor or VDI or whatever. And the user environment management, you know, like AppSense, Res, Medio, you know, these companies that are doing this kind of stuff, Sense, Triceratops, who else is out there? Same thing for them. Like, they're not advocating for this just in VDI or just in Terminal Server. It's like, this is your user environment, and every goddamn instance of Windows in your where a user logs in has this thing.
Actually, you know, it's great that you bring that up, because you're falling into my trap of intelligent desktop.
No, you're falling into my trap of, like, taking what I said, which is cool, and screwing up with your marketing.
No, actually, no. So what central is, you know, the management of the central management of the layers, right? And you bring that up in your book, and you know, VDI Delusion, that, you know, the future of the desktop is all about separating the apps, the user data, and the settings, right, and delivering that as appropriate to any device that the user wants to use. Right. I think that's going to be the key. You know, that's what Winova can do. That's what, you know, you achieve with app virtualization and the user virtualization products out there, right?
And if you know, so getting back to, like, what people are talking about in the comments right now about, like, vMotion and stuff, if you're doing this with for everything, if super high, like, crazy uptime, crazy expensive desktops is a requirement for you, then that's VDI, and you can build it with shared hardware and shared storage and vMotion enabled and everything. But you can still use Winova to actually manage the physical assembly and creation of that image you're vMotioning everywhere. And, oh, by the way, if the user needs to go somewhere else, then they can do that, and they can have their desktop, you know, come down to them. But unlike VMware's view local mode, where, like, your primary is central and then you're just taking it offline occasionally, with Winova there is no primary. Like, it's just, it doesn't matter where you are. If it's running, it's backing up continuously. It's hardware and therefore hypervisor agnostic, and so you can have the total flexibility without saying, well, like, this one's really your primary experience and here's a degraded secondary experience.
Yeah, the common denominator there is the Windows OS, right? Yeah. So as long as you have something running the Windows OS, whether it's a VM or a physical laptop, Winova can run on it and manage it.
Yeah, the guy who's writing the VM, so Winova's like hot VM checkout. See, I wouldn't say checkout, though.
No.
Because checkout implies checking back in.
Right.
No. And this is not, like, you can check out forever, and then you can check it. It's just check.
Right, yeah. This is not VDI. It's not offline VDI. And talked about your central, your central primary copy is always the one in the data center. And then you operate on a local copy, whether that's on a physical machine, whether it's on a hypervisor, whether it's the hypervisor in the data center, whether it's on a type 1 or a type 2. But it's always that primary copy is in the cloud, right?
But let's be clear that the primary copy, it's not a VMDK file. It's like the Winova data files.
Right.
It's a bundle of data files that then can be streamed, delivered, copied, and or booted from anywhere. So if it's – so the saying the primary copy is in the data center, that doesn't mean there's a VM in the data center. That means, like, all the chunk of stuff that we say is you is in the data center, and then you can boot that from wherever you need to or stream it down to wherever you need to.
And kind of. We use a single instance store. So we're only going to store one copy of anything across all users.
Like, so a file-level thing? So, like, one kernel.exe –
so
is that even real? I don't know.
And that's how we do the WAN optimization so well, is if you have 10,000 users and one of them synchronizes a PowerPoint presentation, the other ones get it, we're not going to synchronize that. We're just going to use the point to that one in the data center.
You also do the WAN optimization because your company was founded by a bunch of who's the people that sold the wide area, that WAS to
Cisco?
The people started Winova, right?
Yeah, yeah. Actona was the company. And it was bought in 2004
by Cisco.
So Cisco was now. So
and those guys then quit probably after their earnout and then started Winova, right?
Well, what's interesting is Issy Ben Shah, who was our CTO, was pulled into an IT conversation at Cisco, and it happened to be VMware Pitch and View. And he goes, that's great for some use cases, but it's not going to work from an offline perspective and from all the different knowledge workers here at Cisco. So he went off, and 2 years later, you know, then you find something like Winova out there.
Can you talk about some of the questions? We're coming up on the end of our hour, but, you know, this is an actual radio, so we can keep talking. Like encrypted file systems, how does that work?
Yeah. So the one thing, you know, from both the storage side as well as the client side, we're especially with the sizes of companies that we deal with. I mean, we're dealing with very, very large companies who have real specific security requirements. We're never going to build something on the client side that's going to fit their requirements. So our work is really integrating in with you know, any sort of disk encryption software that's out there, and being able to do the right things in terms of unencrypting, encrypting at the right times and everything
else. Yeah, because it'd be pretty transparent to you, really. I mean, like, yeah, it's encrypted on the disk itself, but of course it's being unencrypted as it's used, so you're accessing files just like anyone else.
Right.
And I assume you have encryption on your whole transit protocol going back. I'm sure you can probably use whatever advanced encryption this is HTTP traffic, right? Going back to
exactly, yeah. So we secure that traffic between the client and the server. We rely on the server side from the storage security perspective, and which allows us to do all of our dedupe inside the storage side too.
And then how about people are asking about, like, so with the backend database, having dedupe at your storage level, is there any value to that? It doesn't really matter because you're doing single instance file storage. So like, If my SAN does dedupe, like, I don't care if my SAN does dedupe because it doesn't really help anything because you're already deduping within your file store.
You only got to store everything one time. You may get a little benefit here and there, but mostly we should take care of most.
Especially if they're doing like block level, but your storage. I mean, your store doesn't have to be fast.
Right, I mean, exactly.
Because really, you're not booting these. You're not booting 1,500 users off your store. It's like you're more like a NAS. I mean, you're. It's not
tier two storage, and that's the reason why, because we rely on the local execution wherever it may be, and that's why we get so many users per server, and that's why our storage costs are so much less than VDI.
Okay, so I think that's probably about it. I mean, someone asked about so you've got this free trial. Is this the question? Is the free trial? Is that a full-featured evaluation, or what's the story on that?
The free trial will allow you full-featured, except it's going to use virtual clients. So you can use Windows 7 or XP virtual clients. If you want to use physical clients, just send us an email, and we'll get you the trial, no problem.
Wait, how does that work? Because doesn't your agent – the agent like just checks to make sure it's running in a VM with the trial?
Yep.
But fundamentally, it's no different if it's in a VM or physical. It's just –
yeah, we just enable physical machines on a different version of the software. But if somebody wants to use physical machines and they want to trial it, we have no problem. Just send us an email.
Right, okay. So let's kind of come in with some final thoughts. Gabe, I don't know if you have any sort of final questions. Oh, how to get in the 2-to-1 beta. Let's see. I'm just reading the chats. So the 2-for-1, that's beta now, beta soon, beta?
2-to-1. We're going to add layers in from the 2-to-1 perspective, and we'll start that in a beta this month or early next month.
And how do people get on that?
I would just go to Winova.com and submit a request, and we can certainly.
Is that an obvious link, or that's just?
Or you can
email you. What's your email address?
It's barry.phillips@winova.com.
Barry.phillips,
PHILLIPS.
All right, awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Barry.phillips@winova.com. And we can email you all of our questions, technical questions, marketing questions, future questions, anything that we need is going to you.
Thank you very much, Brian.
okay, let's see. That's the question. Users per database. You said like 1,500 users.
The database piece, I mean, it all depends on – you can stack lots of servers together, right? And it just depends how many you want to put inside there, because obviously the more users you have in a volume – the better the dedupe happens. And the dedupe is not just on the storage side, but it's what doesn't get transferred over the wide area network, right? So that's the critical piece. It's a combination of storage plus WAN optimization together.
All right, so I think that's about all it from my standpoint. Any questions more from you, Gabe, or anything you saw in the chat that I missed that we should ask now?
No, nothing really. There's been a lot of talk of offline VDI and things like that, and I mean, but this isn't, to me, this is just about desktop management, and I like that the parts where this and VDI converge, that stuff is exciting to me. But I mean, even without the sexiness of desktop virtualization or a VDI, I just love this as a desktop management solution. I mean, it's the kind of thing that I wish would have been around when I was doing desktop management. You know, I don't know. I've been a fan. We've been talking, you know, with 2-1-Nova for a very long time. So this isn't very – I love hearing it all spelled out like this, but I keep it up because this is great stuff.
Now, so where are we going to see you guys next? Synergy is coming up. Bryan Forum UK is coming up. Bryan Forum London.
Yeah, so
seminars.
We'll both be at Bryan Forum London. Yeah, so you're going to see that demo where you can – reboot from the remote ISO and with the Winova Mirage client.
Oh, cool. So you'll have that demo.
So you can see that at the Intel booth, and Winova is going to have a booth as well.
Cool.
And So anything else, Barry, Jesus, any sort of last thoughts you want to leave us with?
Well, actually, you know, the reason I'm such a big fan of what Winova does is that it is a better way of managing desktops, right? So you get all the benefits of centralized management of layers, but at the same time, you don't sacrifice the user experience because, you know, the desktop still executes locally, right? And there's no reason why you have to manage centrally and execute centrally. So I just think it gives you the best of both worlds, really.
And that's the piece I don't think people understand. You can even tell by some of the questions, right? It's the fact that whenever they hear central images, they think virtualization. They just don't understand that you can centralize those images, have local execution without a client hypervisor, and then and that's going to appeal to, you know, many more users than requiring VDI or client hypervisors or anything
like
that.
Yeah, literally the laptop, it's the same laptop. It's just like installing an agent that does continuous backup and file replacement sort of as needed. Well, so on that note, Barry Phillips, CMO of Winova, thank you so much for taking this super long drive from Los Gatos up to here.
I think it'll be shorter on the way home.
Yeah.
Hey, wait. So Los Gatos, that's where I bought my iPhone.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, my BlackBerry Maps told me that that was the closest Apple store to me, and I was in Cupertino at the time. No. I was in California, but I was near Cupertino. I just remember seeing that. And I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go buy an iPhone. And so I punch in Apple Store into the BlackBerry apps or maps program, and it, for whatever reason, sent me to Los Gatos.
Mind you, we have there's two Apple stores in San Francisco itself, three actually in San Francisco, not to mention another 10 on the way. I think you had to pass 10 Apple stores to get there.
No doubt. And it's BlackBerry's fault or you know, whoever did that whole mapping.
It's their fault for not letting Google Maps be on the BlackBerry.
Well, it was Google Maps, I think, but it was I just didn't know where Los Gatos was. So I just thought, okay, what the hell? I'll go to that one. It says it's the closest. And, you know, an hour and a half and several mountains later, I'm down, you know, east west of San Jose.
Well, so that's where Barry's going today. So thank you for taking the drive up, Barry, and also Jesus Garcia, Alliance Marketing Manager for Intel Focusing on Desktop Virtualization. Jesus, thank you for driving down from Folsom, Sacramento.
Folsom,
yeah. And Gabe, as always, you know,
it's a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. So and to all of you, thank you so much for listening. To those in the chat, we'll keep the chat running for a little while, so feel free to keep on talking there. We threw Barry under the bus with his email address, so barry.phillips@winova.com. Just feel free to email him.
I've got a great spam filter. That's all the good stuff in the spam filter and brings all the bad stuff in.
That's good. So all the stuff from your boss is gone, and all the stuff from actual customers in the field is going right to you. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, to both of you guys, so Winova, Intel, thank you so much for sponsoring the show today and for making the time for the conversation. Thank you all for listening from San Francisco. My name is Brian Madden, and I hope you all have a great day.